Father, thank you for today. The Bible says in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 17, as you were there teaching, the power of God was present to heal. But sadly, not everybody was healed. It was the woman with the issue of blood who intentionally touched you. While people were coming to church, she came with an expectation. And Father, this day I pray that the expectation of the righteous here today will not be cut short.
Amen.
Lord, I pray, O God, that you do that which you showed me as I was preparing, O God. Lord, deal and heal every issue. Deal with the devil today. Father, that your people will leave here full of power, will leave here getting home, will see the sick, the left at home healed.
Amen.
Father, invade every darkness in our system, in our community, in our families, in our lives. And Lord, perfect that which concerns us.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Pastor. Thank you. The body of Christ. And Father, thank you for the opportunity. Continuing from where we stopped without wasting much of our time, we laid a foundation. And the foundation the other day we see in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. If you still have your scripture, can you go there? Mark 11, 22. Jesus speaking said to them, and is saying to us, have faith in God. Have faith in God. I'm delighted that our children are here as well. Those in the spirit, those in the physical, toddlers, babies. And we are teaching them early on to have faith in God. So the question I have, moving on from having faith in God, because really having faith in God is the foundation. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Paul speaking says, brethren, let us therefore go on. Let's move on unto maturity. Because having faith in God is foundational, is elementary. But you find, I don't know about you, because of my growing up, there was turbulence in my growing up in the home. And I realized that there were certain things I missed in my foundation. There were certain things I missed in my education because there was a bit of moving around. And I found out that if you have a faulty foundation, or if the foundation of a structure is not right, you might build a very high skyscraper. You might build a very, what seems like a long marriage. I don't know if you heard in the news, the woman who stabbed her husband to death. Why? Because the husband teased her and said something about her cooking. They were married for years. And the woman's been jailed for life. You've seen people who started businesses, floated billion-dollar companies. But really, they found them out and the foundation was wrong. And they've been on trial and they've been jailed. So really, it's not about the structure you built. It is about the foundation. So I had to go back to my foundation, because if you find a crack in the building, there are certain cracks that are linked to the foundation. So what you do is you can't patch it up. You have to pull that structure down. You have to pull it down. You have to look at the foundation of your marriage, the foundation of your faith, the foundation of your finance, the foundation of your Christian work, the foundation of your raising your children, the foundation of your everything we do. We have to look at the foundation. And here Jesus is telling us that the foundation is having faith in God. It is in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our existence. So if you've missed that lecture, if you've missed that class, I encourage you today to examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you can be a churchgoer. In our generation, we have a lot of churchgoers, but we have very, very few Christians. Christian means Christ-like. So in any area of our lives where we are not Christ-like, we are not Christians. Okay? So the foundation is having faith in God. Now we've established it, I would like to move on and share some things. Because I heard in my spirit some people the last time saying, but what about having faith for something, for, you know, this miracle, that miracle? Okay? I'm trusting that the Lord will address that today. So like I said, the first point is having faith in God. The next thing I want us to look at is, please permit me, I always use this analogy, right? And I've been praying that prayer, Lord, help me see things from an elevated position. Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know, if you're looking at things horizontally, there are certain things you might not see. There are certain perspectives you might not see. But if you climb up and look down, you have a clearer picture. And sometimes, as human beings, we only look at life from here to here. But we look at legacies. You know, we talk about pastors that God bless his legacy. Right? We have pastor here today. We have his wife. We have his children. But really, without a legacy, we would not have him. So sometimes we are short-sighted. And I want you to be long-sighted. I want you to be generational in your thinking. Okay? Okay. Let's go. When we were praying during the last 12 days of the year, God started speaking to us in bite sizes. God started speaking to us month by month. So he spoke in January, shut the door, spoke in February, March, April. And in the last 2 months, in September, he spoke to us about love. Right? Are you here with me? Please follow me. He spoke to us about the importance of love. Then in October, he spoke to us about what? Faith. Faith works by love. So you can't take it, you can't take the year in isolation, you can't take March of 2021 in isolation. You have to take the whole thing. Because if you're making food, if you're making, let me say you're making cake, you're baking, right? There are different ingredients that help to form that cake, the end product. If you take the cake in isolation, the egg in isolation, you only have egg. If you take sugar in isolation, you only have sugar. But when they come together, you see a bigger picture, a better picture. Which is why I want you to see from the heavenly realm. Okay? So in November, God then introduces, I'm going ahead to speak into November because November is tomorrow. He says, standing beside the drying brook. There's a brook that is drying up. There's a brook that is about to dry up. There's something that is going to be monumental in your life that is going to shake you to the core. But if the foundation is not sure, you'll fall away. Bible says, if I come back, Jesus said, will I find faith on earth? Because there will be a great falling away.
That's right.
So before he brings you to the brook that is drying up, he's telling you, get up. Fasten your seatbelt. Anchor your faith. Check yourself. Because there's an impact coming. If you've ever seen where they test cars, they manufacture new cars, and they run them into walls, they run them into objects. Why? Because they want to check the safety of the people in the car. There are some things that are going to crash. They started crashing during the pandemic. But they that do know their God, they that have the seatbelt fastened, will be strong and nothing will happen to you.
Amen.
So he spoke to you about love, spoke to you about faith, which we're ending today, and there's something going to happen. Unpleasant, pleasant, I don't know, but we'll see. So the next thing I want you to do, if your foundation is sure, is I want you to live by faith. Let's look at 1 Kings 17, where the theme of the month, of next month, is taken from, where God spoke to us from. I'll just run quickly. Okay. I'll read different translations. I have NIV, King James, New American Standard, Amplified. It says, now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, As the Lord, the God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, go away from here, and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I will command the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. Praise God. Praise God. Very quickly, in verse 1, it says Elijah, the Tishbite, was of the settlers of Gilead. And he said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand. Friends, the first thing I want you to do after you've secured the foundation, again, the chapter 1 tells you about where Elijah was standing. If I could just buttress that a bit. Elijah was standing before the Lord. Elijah was standing in his confidence in God. Every other thing that is going to happen to him is anchored on this. Friends, we live in a time, Bible says in the book of, I'll just run, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. If you read chapter 3, read chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4. You find out that what the Bible says is happening in the last days. It was similar to what was happening in this time that Elijah found himself. There was no morals, no boundaries. The world, the system was defining how things were being done. Today, somebody said to me the other day, marriage is overhyped. Marriage is overhyped. Because after the marriage, people just do anyhow. Why? Because the system of the world is redefining marriage. The system of the world is redefining raising children. The system of the world is redefining finance. The system of the world is redefining how demons operate. They give it a name. Rather than cast out the demon, we label it, we study it. The system of the world is defining everything that we do. But Elijah stood before the Lord. Elijah took a stand. Elijah's stand was, whatever the Lord says is what I say. Whatever the Lord says is what I say. I don't care what you say about tithing or no tithing. I don't care what you say about laying on of hands. I don't care what you say about fellowshipping with the brethren. Whatever the Lord says is what I say. You must go back to the place where you are standing on the word of God. Where you are standing with the Lord. On whose side are you on? Whose report would you believe? Whose report are you believing for your children? The Bible says that one day a man brought his child to Jesus. The Bible said the boy was being thrown. The father was defining. It was being thrown into the fire. The boy was misbehaving. There were so many things happening to the boy. He was deaf and dumb. And the Bible says, and Jesus asked the father, how long has this been happening? He said, since he was a child. It hit me. That do you know that the demons in our time, in our generation, are attacking children
right.
even before they know how to count one or two?
That's right.
The Bible says, and Jesus said to him, you deaf and dumb spirit, come out of him and enter him no more. As parents, are we standing on the word of God? Or are we negotiating with the devil? The Bible says, this man that was possessed of the demon, he was tearing chains. No chain could hold him. Bible says he was harming himself. Self-harm, brethren, is a demonic oppression. Bible said he was not in a sound mind. Not having soundness of mind is a demonic oppression. What did Jesus do? Jesus spoke and Jesus cast out the demon out of him. And Bible said when they came, they saw him sitting down. Brethren, if you can't sit down, maybe you need to check your life. Sat down at the feet of Jesus. Listening to the word. For Bible says he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of peace, boldness, and a sound mind. What is happening in our generation? The devil is attacking us mentally.
That's right.
Increase in mental health. Why? Because we have departed from standing with the Lord. Oh! We're celebrating Halloween. Nothing is happening. No, something is happening. You are celebrating death, fear, and demons, darkness. No, I don't celebrate it. I'm a child of life. Light. My children are children of light. Friend, your children are seeking for you to protect them. They can't say no to their friends. The peer pressure is too much. They want you to step up and say, yes, let me be the bad parent. No, my children will not partake in it. He took a stand. Elijah took a stand with the Lord because he had faith in God. Your faith must be in God. Your faith must be in God. Amen. Once he put his faith in God, he declared to the system, no, Ahab, this is wrong. The way we are doing things is wrong. We cannot keep going like this. And because the word of God has said that, Do you know that it is God who gives the rain? Bible says, God said, if I shut the heavens, if I shut the heavens and make the earth, heaven as brass. Sin is what shuts the heaven. Friends, has the rain ceased in your life? Maybe you need to check whether sin, check whether you are departed from the faith. What is sin? If you know what is good to do and you don't do it, it is sin. Don't amplify it. Don't label it. He spoke the truth. Because if you don't have faith in God, you cannot move to the next step. The next step was the word of God came to him and said to him, move. Leave the unknown. Leave the known. Leave your job. By the way, God has spoken to me to leave. You will hear. But God is telling somebody to leave. Move, leave. Leave that city where you are in. Leave that job. Leave that relationship. Leave that friendship. It is toxic. It is killing you. It is sapping the glory, my glory, out of your life. The environment where God told Elijah to leave was an environment that was toxic to what God was doing. But how do you leave the familiar? How do you leave your comfort zone? By faith. If you don't have faith in God, you cannot leave. Trust me. God told him to leave. Go to the brook Cherith. That means he moved without having a postcode of where he was going to. Wasn't that what the Bible said of Abraham? He moved, not knowing. But sometimes we want to know where we are going. We sit down, we are sitting on that job. God is telling you, leave. You say, no, Lord, where am I going? We Christianize it. I'm praying. I'm waiting on the Lord. The Lord is saying, leave. The Lord is saying, that is the place. That is the person I want you to get married to. Oh, Lord, I'm praying. No, Lord. God is saying, no, that relationship, leave it. That city, leave that city, move. Because Jesus came to a man that was blind, and Jesus took him out of the city. Because in that city where you are, in that relationship, you can never encounter Jesus until you leave. Go where? No house. Jesus didn't say to him, go to a house. He said, go and live by the brook. That means starting all over again. He must have built a tent. The uncertainty. The loneliness. The loneliness. Live by faith. The second thing is, after you have the foundation of having faith in God, you must learn to live by faith. You must live by faith. So the foundation is what? The foundation of faith in God. The next stones that you build is living by faith. Friends, you have to live by faith. You have to raise your children by faith. You have to marry by faith. You have to invest by faith. When we got married, you know, the beauty of my story is that there are witnesses. You know, the Bible says in a cloud of witnesses. When we got married in 2012, after waiting almost 10 years to get consent and permission, our wedding was less than £500. This is me speaking. This is not the Lord. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is me. The cheaper the wedding, the better. I'm telling you, the church, we use the church hall as a reception venue. The church, we use the reception, the church cooked as we have reception, you know. We had the tables, we hired tables. It wasn't expensive, round tables. The church, the welfare, the decoration department decorated it. You know, pastor preached. We didn't need to fly any pastor from anywhere. Pastor and his friends, who are our fathers, they came and they preached. You know, my wife, God helped us. We got one dress. It wasn't the flowing dress. Who said you must wear a wedding dress? Where is it written in the scriptures? She looked nice on the day. Because we've always said it's going to be a Bible study wedding. The wedding was cheap. But I didn't have a job. I was trying to create a business at the time. So we married by faith. We married by faith. The beauty of faith is that when you start telling the stories like I'm telling, God takes all the glory. Because if I had all the money, I would have said, oh man, what is it? Let's just pay for it. Let's just buy it. You wouldn't depend on God. Now, we got married by faith. We started living in the house by faith. You know, when after service, those days, Pastor, you know, when Pastor banned jollof rice, I thank God because I had passed through the era where the Lord was sending ravens to feed me. You know, When they share food in the church, you know, and they give, and they, oh, there's some left. You say, no, let's not eat it. Just pack it for us. And you know the secret of pack mine, I'll take it home. They wouldn't give you the portion they give others. Understand? This is a secret. I'm sharing secret. So they give you more. So we were living by faith. You must live. Brethren, high time we went back to living by faith. Living by confidence in God. I am not what, I don't look like what God is saying about me. Abraham was being called the father of faith. He was being called Abraham. Abraham. After church, people say, bro, how are you? How are you? Abraham, oh, so how are your children? They're in the spirit, they're coming. The ridicule of it. Friend, we must live by faith. Oh, my children are the best children. Fearfully and wonderfully made. No, they don't involve in this. They don't involve in this. Why? Because I'm raising them by faith. Prince Philip said something about Prince Charles. They were asking him. He said, no, I spank Prince Charles. The news media, you spank? It's against. He said, no. I'm raising the king, the future king of England, who is going to rule over you. I need to spank him. It is the people that are being ruled over that don't spank their children. Why is it that if you want to become a policeman, you can't become a judge, they tell you you can't have any criminal record? They don't allow you to have one. But the other people can have criminal record. Why? Because the judge has to be right. You have to stand in the place of righteousness to administer justice. That is why my children are for signs and wonders. They can't involve in what your children involve in, because they are going to be seated with God in heavenly places. So the principle of God, I'm abiding, following scriptural principles, teaching them, showing them how I do things, what I do, showing them respect, teaching them respect, teaching them to sit down. My daughter, as she is now, once I pick up the phone, she doesn't talk. I'm carrying her, I pick up a call. She can't talk. I'm teaching her. I teach her to sit down now. She sits down and eats. No, you have to learn to sit down. Why? Because I'm raising a godly seed. I'm raising her by faith. If you have to live by faith, you can't live by comparing yourself with other people. Yeah. Bible says, he that compares himself with others are not wise. Yeah. I was telling my friend yesterday, I showed him, I said, do you know that Warren Buffett has been driving his car? The car he's driving is his 2006 car. 2000. He can buy the whole of Liverpool, my village, your village, combined. You can't live by faith comparing yourself with other people. Bible said God told him to move and he moved. If you have to live by faith, you have to live by the instruction of God. You have to know God for yourself. You have to study to show yourself approved. The workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, this is the way we do it. Sorry, the word God told me is not the way I should do it. You must have your own manual, your own word. Are you living by faith? Elijah moved and left his comfort zone. Can I tell us something? Is anybody here, this is the Spirit of God, is anybody here on a job that you feel every day the job is killing you? The job is stifling you. Can I tell you something? That is God telling you it's time to move. Why? Because what happens? Let me explain it. Today I just want to explain a few things. When you're on a job that you feel every day is draining you, what is happening is that life is being taken out of you. The way suffocation works is that if you block the air gap, right? It's a slow death. But the more oxygen is cut off, the more you are dying. It accelerates your dying. Okay? So when you're on a job And the Holy Spirit is, the life of God in you is telling you, move. This is not what I've called you to do. And you're struggling. What is happening is life is dying. And it gets to a point, if you don't go, like God told Elijah, go. If you don't go, you will die. And once you die, you then stay on in that place for years, become moribund, redundant, and absolutely useless in the hand of God. God is saying you need to start your charity. God is saying to somebody, you need to start your own school. God is saying to somebody, you need to write your own blog. Not the gossip the world tells, but your blog of good news. Or they come, the people come and they read good news and are encouraged. God is saying to someone, you are chasing after money, you are chasing after wealth, chase after me. Jesus went about doing good. You need to pay, you are old enough to pay somebody's school fees. You are old enough in the kingdom of God to sponsor somebody and give a scholarship. You are old enough in the kingdom of God. Go and change your community. Go and do something. If you sit here, we die. The leper said, if we sit here, we die. If a leper can say, if I sit here, I die. And with all the limitations moved forward, you are in a greater glory and a greater covenant. Live by faith. Don't live by fear. Live by faith. God told him, leave. And he went. And he was living on benefit. I'm not talking about the UK kind of benefit. I'm talking about living on the goodwill of the Lord. For 3 years, I was trying to build a business. Difficult. Every morning I started in the church. My first office was in church. I would dress up because I've learned to live by faith. You can't be living by faith and then the whole world is pitying you. No, that's not living by faith. I will dress up, wear my tie, I will come with my laptop, I'll sit down, open up, and I'll just start. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? You're trying to figure it out all out before you move. No, God doesn't work that way. Abraham in Hebrews chapter 11, Bible said he was looking for a city. So he would go look at this city and say, can I look at the land registry document of the city, of this building? Who is the owner? You know, every property has an owner. They will write the owner. He will check. Do you know it costs you about £3? £3 every time you check the land registry to check who the owner is. So Abraham was spending money. If there was a land registry that time, he was spending money. It cost him something to see if this is of God. We live in a time, people tell you, invest here, and you get 10, 30, somebody was... We were chatting with someone yesterday. He said, that these people were promising 30% return a month. I said, who does that? We are so gullible these days. Didn't Jesus say, if they tell you he's there, you run there. They tell you he's there, you run there. No, you must study to show yourself approved. So Elijah went. But the Bible says that the brook started to dry up. Sometimes, I don't know if you feel that way, you go to a place God has told you to go. You do something God has told you to do, but there are no customers, there are no clients. No one is like you in obscurity. It was God who told you to resign the job, and now it's like you are forgotten and forsaken. That's how I felt. But I knew who that called me. Why was the brook drying up? Because the water had ceased. The source had ceased. The source had ceased. And God was simply telling Elijah that. It brings me to the third point. You have to fight the good fight of faith. The foundation is faith in Christ. That foundation can't be broken. You have to live by faith. You can't live by any other means. Living by faith means, what does it mean to live? To live means to exist. You have to then, in living, you build. You walk, you invest, you rise up, you run, you do things. Faith is the action word. Faith is what propels you. Faith is what propels you. I remember one time we did an exam in university. So the lecturer then called us after we did a test. It was a test. And he called us and said, you know, before you pass, you need to pay me some money. Trust me, as radical as I've always been, I went into that. It was a one-on-one. You come in one-on-one to make it discreet. So he will tell you, you know, pay something so that I'll pass you. You know, Bible said, they that do know their God will be strong and they'll do exploits. So I said to him, sir, even if you fail me, I'm not giving you a dime. But I know I've passed, so you can't threaten me. So sir, I'm not giving you anything. If you like, fail me, but I know I've passed. He said, okay, you can go. You must, faith speaks up. You must speak up. Bible says, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made. Those days we'll go and we'll see the doctors and they tell us, your wife has hyperlactemia or something. Doctors will know what I'm talking about. I will come out, I say, doc, no, my wife doesn't have it. My wife doesn't have it. But we're just here to fulfill our righteousness. You know, it was like the COVID time. People were worrying and, you know, worrying, should we take the vaccine or shouldn't we take the vaccine? I took the vaccine, but I always tell people, it's not the vaccine that's healing me or protecting me. No, I'm just fulfilling all righteousness. My healing is in God. But I can't say my healing is in God and then I'm careless. No. So we must fight the good fight of faith. What is fighting the good fight of faith? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Timothy, let me read the scripture so that you don't think this brother is just talking without reading the Bible. If you find it, can you read? Sorry, because of our time. Just shout it out. Says, fight the good fight of faith.
It says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses.
All right. It says, fight the good fight of faith. Faith involves a fight. Faith involves a fight. If you say you're going to live godly, if you say you're going to buy a property by faith, if you say you're going to inhabit the land and raise and marry by faith, you're going to fight. If you're saying, I'm going to wait until the Lord blesses me, it's a fight. Abraham had that fight. God has spoken to him, you're going to have a child, like he spoke to me. You're going to have children. But what was the fight? The challenge was, time was going, Lord. You know, sometimes we treat God as if he doesn't have a wristwatch. God, there's time going. I'm getting old. You know, my maids. You know, Timothy married last week, Lord, and I led him to the Lord. You know, we keep telling God. So Abraham had that challenge. If you're going to raise your children by faith, you have the challenge. If you're going to live happily with your husband, you have the challenge. Your in-laws and outlaws, your siblings will come and say, wait, you've been here since. You know, sometimes some people will come and they'll use strategy and tell you, there's this doctor that we know. Maybe you should go and just see them and, you know, talk to them. You know, they did this and did that and did that and did that and did that. They'll say, go and see this person. Somebody even told us, go, there's this man of God that will pray for you. He prays for you like this. And I said to them, anyone that the pastor that God has put me under cannot pray for me, forget it. You know, the Bible says a stern face drives away gossip. So it got to a point, people look at my face, they can't even talk to me. Because I told my wife, I said, if anybody ever talks to you about having children, just refer them to me. I wish sometimes some wives could do that. And just come under the covering of your husband. And not try to do your thing yourself. Because Bible said, why are you praying with your head uncovered? Why are you praying with your head uncovered? So when you just see my wife and tell her, she will say, sorry, go and see my husband. And you've seen my face sometimes. You can't come and tell me rubbish. I'll just sit you down and start preaching to you. You need Jesus in your life. So you must fight the good fight of faith. Abraham had a challenge. So what did Abraham do? Abraham wanted to check whether his manhood was working. You know, sometimes faith, when you hear the word of God and God tells you to do something, it makes you look stupid. You go like, but I can. Have you ever said to somebody, if not for the kingdom, if I just drop this Christianity, you know, to check whether I'm still, I can punch you. So what did he do? He went and slept with his maid. Did she get pregnant? Yes. Talk to me. Did she get pregnant?
Yes.
Did they have a child?
Yes.
What did God say when he came? God said, that is not the child I promised you. You might get a job that God tells you. This is not the job. This is not the job I'm telling you. You might build the biggest property. The Lord said, this is not the one. Why? Because you did not get it by faith. You didn't get it by the word, by confidence and trust in God. You tried to make it work yourself. So you must fight the good fight of faith. As I was preparing, I heard Matthew chapter 26, verse 37 and 38. 2 Corinthians, Jesus was attacked. The devil tried to attack Jesus with depression. Peter was attacked with depression. He said, we despaired of life. We despaired of life. Loneliness, fighting the good fight of faith would sometimes bring you to the place where you are attacked with loneliness and sadness and overwhelmed, and you are like, God, are you still there? God, are you the one that called me? God, are you still alive? I've sacrificed for this marriage. I've sacrificed for the children. Lord, why? What is going on? You have to fight the good fight of faith. Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Nobody can encourage you like the word of God. No doctor can help you like Jesus can. When we lost our child, a very traumatic experience, I carried our dead baby. His hands were cold. Pastor was there. Lady pastor was there. His hands were cold. Looked so much like my father-in-law. Looked at my wife's legs. Yeah, you've not seen my wife's legs. But the baby was dead. This was after almost 8 hours of praying and worshiping and speaking in tongues and claiming every scripture you know. Makaya, you will live and not die. And the baby died. And the next day was Sunday service. What did I do? In the tears, I went back to the word God gave us in Isaiah chapter 12. Friends, for you to win in the fight of faith, you must have the scripture. You must have a word God gave you. Every time I've been through a difficult time with my wife, we've always held on to the word of God. One retreat, the annual retreat we have, we were praying and God spoke to me, apply for your visa. I had zero balance. And those days, we had a friend in this church. She was in this church. Her account dropped by a pound, and the home office denied her. I had zero. God told me to apply. I held on to the word. I applied, and they gave it to me. You must have the word for yourself, so that when the devil beats you, you hold on to the word. You hold on to the word of God. Even if you kill me, I will hold on to the word. When I was coming to this country, God gave me a scripture, Isaiah, Psalm chapter 32, verse 8. He was said he will guide me, he will lead me. He gave me Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. He said he will help me. He told me to come to Love Assembly. I wasn't a member of the Redeemed Church. He told me where I was going to. And over the years, people go, what are you doing there? I said, God told me. Friends, I will end here today because of our time. I just want us to pray. Stand wherever you are. Can you just stand? Make sure you are standing on the word of God. You need to search the scriptures. You need to find the word God wants to give to you. God said to Elijah, go to the brook Cherith. Go to the brook. And the word of God is progressive. The word of God is progressive. The instruction is progressive. Because when the brook started drying, the Lord told him, go to the widow of Zarephath. Go, leave this place. Friends, it is time for you to go. God told me there is somebody, you have dwelt on this mountain long enough. It is time for you to leave. You have made excuses long enough. You've been trying to start that project. 10 years ago, you are still trying to start it. 5 years ago, you are still trying to start it. The Lord is saying it is time. The earnest expectation of the righteous awaits the manifestation of the creations, awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. Of the sons of God. It is time for you to build by faith. Repair the walls in your family that have been broken. Repair the marriages. I said to God, hey, my father married many wives. My grandfather, my father's side, many wives. Marriages breaking down left, right, and center. I said, Lord, I will hold on to your word. My marriage must work. Yes. My marriage must work. And for it to work, I must hold on to the word of God. And Jesus said, have you not read? Have you not read? So I learned from Jesus that the secret of marriage working is reading the word, obeying the word, not just being a hearer, a doer of the word. What word do you have for the things you are doing? I can tell you the scripture God gave me for when I left my first job, when I left myself. I can tell you what I was doing. I can tell you. And sometimes I'll come to pastor and say, Pastor, I've been offered 2 jobs. Which one should I take? Pastor will say, go and talk to God yourself. And one of the jobs, I took it. I left the other one. The company closed down in 12 months. Charged with fraud. Without the direction of the Holy Spirit, I would have made the wrong choice. Friends, are you here today? Maybe you need to improve your word base. Your word base. You are no longer studying the scriptures. You are no longer hearing God. And your brook is drying up and you want to start irrigating the brook. You want to dig a borehole. You want to dig a borehole to replace the brook. Friends, you will die in the wilderness. God has been telling you, you've been dilly-dallying, torn between 2 opinions. Bible said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You are double-minded. Today it's Paul. Tomorrow is Peter. You don't know who to marry. You keep dilly-dallying. The Lord says you will be unstable and you'll not receive anything. Friends, I don't know where you are. Maybe you are at the stage of your foundation is not in Jesus. Your foundation is in religion. The foundation of your marriage, check the foundation. Check the foundation of your life, of your career. Check the foundation. Maybe your foundation is money. You want to make a good salary. That is not the right foundation. The right foundation is impact. That's right. Maybe you are here. Your foundation is right, but you stop living by faith. Your life is now an abandoned project. You are building skyscraper, but the frames. You are building outside the architect's drawing. I'm telling you, building control will come and mark that house X. You must live by faith. You must raise your children by faith. You must love your wife by faith. You must submit to your husband by faith. You must work with your colleagues by faith. You must do good by faith. Or maybe you are now fighting the good fight of faith. You are at the level where God has spoken to you, but so many things are attacking your mind. So many things are trying to distract you. So many things are trying to take you away from the faith that you once received. Friend, why not pray? Or maybe you've done all and you need patience. Bible calls it, after having done all, stand. Friends, wherever you are, can you begin to pray and talk to God? Can you begin to talk to God in the simplicity of this word? In the simplicity of the word. Maybe there's somebody here, you always like to make decisions when you see the things clearly. When you know there's money in the bank, that's when you give. You cannot give if you don't have money. You cannot give when you yourself haven't eaten. Have you seen how parents behave? Parents will give their children before they eat themselves. The widow of Zarephath gave to Elijah before she ate. And he activated something. Obedience by faith. Friends, I want you to pray. The power of God is here to heal. Maybe there's somebody here. Your child has been under the influence of the devil. I cast that devil out in the name of Jesus. I speak healing in the name of Jesus. There's somebody here you've been going through. You're watching online. You've been going through a mental health challenge. The devil is telling you are not beautiful. The devil keeps telling you you are not worthy. The devil keeps lying to you that you don't amount to anything. There's a young person here. The devil keeps telling you your parents don't love you. If they love you, they wouldn't scold you. They wouldn't discipline you. That is the devil. Your parents love you more than you can even imagine. Makayagada, there's somebody here suffering from what your husband said to you. Your husband said something to you and you've been under the influence of the devil. You've been trying to come out of the pit. You've been pulling yourself down. You've been self-harming. The devil, I cast you out of that mind in the name of Jesus. There is somebody watching online. You've been contemplating suicide. You want to end it all. You are like Paul, you despair of life. I pray that the Lord will snatch you out from the hand of the devil right now. There's somebody here, your marriage is going through a tough time. You need to talk to pastor. There are certain things that is not for prayer. We pray, but you need counseling. You need help. You need to see pastor immediately. You've been hiding it. Your brook is drying up. You don't need to wait any longer. Run to the Lord. Pastor is not the Lord, but run to the Lord. He will tell you what to do. There's somebody, your career is going through a turbulence. The Lord wants to turn your business around. The Lord wants you to pivot. The word I'm hearing for you is to pivot. Pivot. The brook has dried up and the Lord wants you to move to a different location, a different sector, a different field. The Lord wants you to change careers because the brook has dried up, but the Lord is ahead of you. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Father, we thank you. I just welcome Pastor back.